And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. The lowest temperature this morning was exactly 30 degrees. That's right, 30. Of course, I kind of drove down into a valley to get 30 degrees, but, you know, still pretty cool. Lowest temperature of the school year, right? If you'd like to join me on the radio today, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. I always think it's a tremendous learning opportunity to hear what people have to say and what they want to talk about and how they're wanting to improve their health. But I have a little story that I want to tell you. But first, I'm going to read an article. It will not take long. Even though you may not have rheumatoid arthritis, well, yes, this little abstract is all about rheumatoid. Let me see where I get this from. It's adapted from Vitamin K2 is Effective in Rheumatoid Arthritis. And that article was written by Michael Murray, MD. And you can find that on greenmedinfo.com, in case you want to look that up. That's my reference point. Anyway, Dr. Murray goes on to write, rheumatoid arthritis is one of the most debilitating inflammatory conditions known to humans. Treatment with vitamin K2 is showing tremendous promise in its treatment and prevention. Rheumatoid arthritis is a chronic inflammatory condition that affects the entire body, particularly the joints. Evidence points toward RA as an autoimmune reaction in which the antibodies develop to fight the patient's own joint tissues. This just means your own body, your own immune system is attacking you. You do not want that to happen. This reaction may be triggered by a variety of factors. Rheumatoid arthritis is a classic example of a disease that can be affected by genetic, dietary, and environmental factors. To treat the causes of RA, researchers are studying a form of vitamin K called minoquinone 7, or MK7, which is already known to improve bone density and overall bone health. So if you're listening right now and you have osteoporosis, this may be one of the most important things that you should consider. Vitamin K2 naturally occurs in many green leafy vegetables and in, I know that Gouda cheese contains it. Anyway, in one study, scientists found that patients that were treated with minoquinone 7, which is a form of vitamin K2, they had a significant decrease in certain markers of inflammation, while an important marker of bone health increased. Oh, so it improved the quality of the person's bones, and pain inflammation went down. Okay, I'm on board with that. Standard therapy for rheumatoid arthritis is overly reliant on drugs that suppress the disease process. That'd be like methotrexate and high-potency anti-inflammatoids and steroids, stuff like that. Of course, you have some great side effects from all those drugs. It rips your bones to shreds. You'll never sleep again. You can pack on 30 pounds. It can totally mess up your immune system. Is that really what you want? No. Anyway, that's just my leading article this morning. But what I want to do is I want to tell you a story from not yesterday, Friday, but the Friday before. I had a woman come to see me, and I'm just going to say she's 37 years of age. If I'm wrong about that, no big deal. But she walks in the door, and she just instantly throws down the gauntlet, and she says, Dr. Morgan, I want a drastic change. I said, well, what do you mean drastic? She said, I need a miracle. I said, what do you mean you need a miracle? She said, I want a miracle. I said, well, what is the miracle? She says, anyway, she has rheumatoid arthritis. It looks as if somebody took the needle, you know, that you might pump up a football or basketball or volleyball with and inserted it in her wrist and her hand and just started pumping it up. But, you know, the hand is not a balloon, is it? It's not a volleyball, not a football either. But it looks like her hand and wrist was so swollen, I felt really, really badly for her. Now, the one finger that was extremely, it's like a fat sausage, but the finger that had the most trouble in her case, well, it was the middle finger. And you could see the swelling on the palm of the hand and also on the backside or the dorsum of the hand, and it just did not look pretty. But she was just describing to me she couldn't make lunch for her kids. She, by the way, she couldn't even drive herself to the office because that would require her gripping a steering wheel or, you know, using the whatever it's called, the gear shift to put the transmission in drive or reverse or park. She couldn't even do that. Can't close her hands. So I'm feeling pretty bad for her, but I'm focusing on her challenge to me was, I want a drastic change. She's just saying, something's got to give. And when a person tells me they can no longer handle the side effects of just powerful drugs and what they're doing to their body, then I tend to believe them. Why would I doubt them? And so I said, okay, you want drastic? Here goes. Now, I did examine her. But I just immediately cut right to the chase because I want to deliver information to her and see what her response is. So just remember, she's got really severe rheumatoid arthritis. She's miserable. Mega pain. Doesn't like the way she feels in her body. So would you say that maybe she's just a little bit motivated? Where does motivation come from? Well, it comes from inside of you. You want something. She wants to make lunch for her kids and cook dinner for her husband, and she wants to do all the things that a mother would want to do. So, and I'll just kind of cut to the chase. One of the things that I requested that she try as a short-term trial was a higher dose of vitamin K2. That's kind of based on, you know, I just found an article that kind of lines up with what I'm thinking anyway. So she says, okay. And then I asked her to take an herb that's been shown to have a very effective action against autoimmune diseases. It's called hemidecimus. She says, okay. And I realize I'm just making this real short and sweet. We don't really have to overthink it. But in my experience, the adrenal glands are just toast. They're not working right. So I just request, can we feed and nourish that glandular system of your body that generates and produces hormones to keep you in good, radiant health? And she says, okay, so there's three nutritional supplements that I recommend. And she agrees to those just very readily, very easily. She's all on board. Her decision. I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I need you to fast for 3 days. And she says, I'm not doing that. I said, did you tell me whether or not, did you say that you wanted a drastic change? And she goes, well, what's the fasting going to do? And I said, well, number one, it's going to give your body a complete vacation from what it's doing right now. You're not going to be processing food and digesting food. I said, and plus the studies show that there's a correlation between leaky gut syndrome and rheumatoid. So I just told her straight up, I said, I think one of the issues you're dealing with is between the drugs that you've taken. I mean, yes, they prescribed anti-inflammatories, and they told her specifically, the doctor, the dose that she was on, she could only do that short term, so we discussed that for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, that she knew the party was coming to an end and she couldn't take the high doses of the drugs. Well, one of the things the drugs do is they tend to brutally affect the lining of the gut. And so if you've ever heard the term leaky gut syndrome, that's all I'm after. Just trying to get her to see a difference where she can be on board, because it's a general rule. When somebody sees a really, really good result, they're on board, they're motivated, they feel good. No one leaves the office living off my motivation for 4 days, maybe for 1 day or 1 hour. But they've got to actually do this themselves. They've got to take charge of it. And so, yes, and wanting to help assist her request to get her off all those anti-inflammatory drugs that are kind of beating up her liver and kidneys and the lining of the gut, I said I wanted her to fast for 3 days. She said, I can't do that. I said, why not? She said, well, I have a daughter that's in the Rose Parade. She's a cheerleader. I don't like the idea of doing without food and not eating. I'm going, well, nobody else does either. People don't really come and walk in the office and say, Dr. Morgan, I'm really thinking about a 3 or 4 day fast. What do you think about that? I'd say, yes, the fastest rate of healing and repair and unburdening of toxic waste is going to take place when you fast. So I said, oh, well, that's not a big deal. I mean, tomorrow is Saturday. You'll be through this. Start on Sunday if you want to. She said, can I do that? I said, of course. Anyway, so she leaves the office, and I think that she was at least looking at me like I was slightly nuts by making this recommendation, but I can also tell she is completely made. I can tell the wheels are turning in her brain. She's trying to figure out how this is going to work and how she's going to do it. So anyway, I'm in church on Wednesday evening. I get a text from her. In this text, she says, Dr. Morgan, when can I eat? And so I send her a text back and go, well, what's going on? She says, well, I'm completely free of pain and the swelling's out of my hands. I'm going, really? So you're pain-free, are you? That's great. But anyway, I told her that I was very pleased and proud of her. I complimented her on being very focused and disciplined to achieve the goal. I mean, isn't that great? She did all this without drugs. But what she was interested, she said, I'm hungry now, so I don't know. She said she's been fasting since Sunday, so can I just say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? That's like a four-day fast. But she says she's ready to eat now. What should she eat? And I recommended broth-based soup. I haven't heard back from her since Wednesday, but we probably had three or four paragraphs of conversation that I don't know I need to read that to you. But to make a long story short, healing takes place during fasting. Now, this is me slightly switching gears unless someone wants to call and ask a question. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, you know that I'm totally biased. I'm totally for any way to heal the body naturally that doesn't destroy it or poison it, which is essentially what drugs do. I mean, if you love the idea of being on 25 prescription medications, that's your choice. You can do what you want. But if you're the type of person that does not want to do that, then we may want an alternative and show you a different way to take care of your body without destroying it in the process. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Anyway, one of the articles I was reading in a book completely devoted to the topic of cancer, which I think is most intriguing and interesting. But in this topic, they're saying they think that maybe one of the great, and I realize this is going to be tremendous, this could be a tremendous argument, which I do not wish it to be. It doesn't do a lick of good to argue, but if you want to exchange ideas and discuss a topic, that's perfectly fine. I can easily accept your point of view, but in this article, they were doing a large meta-analysis of all these chemotherapy drug trials, and they were asking the question, what can we account for the great rate of healing or the regression of a tumor when someone starts chemo? And so in this peer-reviewed article, they determined that when you take these drugs, yes, they present the drugs to you as something that actually interrupts cancer cells' ability to grow and divide and, you know, replicate and take over tissues of the body. Okay, I've got that. I understand. And a lot of that, there's some truth to it. But they said, what can we account for as the reason why tumors shrink? And they said in this article that the number one factor that causes tumors to shrink when someone's on chemotherapy is because they become so sick and so nauseated that they don't want to eat. And that plays into the mechanisms that cancer cells are pretty greedy and hungry, and they like to be self-gratified with sugar or anything that breaks down into sugar. So whether it's a baked potato or a bowl of pasta or spaghetti, a bowl of rice or candy or cookie or fruit, it matters not. All you're doing is you're playing toward a cancer cell's strength and their natural appetite. They want sugar. But if you take a drug that makes you sick as a dog, well, yes, that may be what the cutting-edge research shows, that the reason why tumors seem to shrink and regress is because you're so sick and you can't eat. And if you can't eat, you can't feed cancer cells, can you? But let me ask you this. What if the truth really is that fasting would do the same thing without the toxic side effects of chemotherapy? And so, referencing a different article, yeah, I mean, okay, if this was really, if they really wanted to test this, they could say, all right, just give us 2 weeks. 2 weeks on chemotherapy will make you sick as a dog, you'll be nauseated, you won't be able to eat, or you can just voluntarily fast. See which one comes out on top. Good morning, and welcome to the program. Thank you very much for your phone call.
Good morning. So I'm very interested in this fast that you're talking about, and I understand you don't eat anything, but what should you drink? Is there something that will...
Well, the things, what I told this young lady to drink is I wanted her to take the juice of one lemon and squeeze every bit of it into a glass of water to dilute it and drink that.
Okay.
And water. And if she said she had horrible, horrible cravings for sugar, I said one thing that she could try is just a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar and water. I think that probably has maybe a 75 to 80% success rate. So if a person says, man, I am just completely... I can't go on unless I have that Snickers bar or that bag of chips. Well, the apple cider vinegar and water may completely turn that off in some people. It does a great job. There are other people that if they drink sparkling water, that completely stops their devouring appetite for sweets.
Okay.
Herbal teas, much as you want. I have some people we negotiate, and they say, I want black tea. I'm going to drink it. If a person wants a cup of coffee and they insist upon it, fine. But just water, water, water.
Okay. That sounds easy.
Well, it is if you say so.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call. I appreciate you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Years ago, you may be familiar that the continent of Africa is completely covered up with a type of infection called HIV. If you want to call the syndrome AIDS, fine by me. So they're completely covered up, but they've noticed a very strange phenomena. Women that are infected with HIV, but they eat far less than what would be considered optimal intake of calories, and they're real thin, they have the least manifestation of AIDS. They're not dying of AIDS or of cancer. And so, doesn't that tell you that maybe fasting might serve a good purpose occasionally? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
If you'll just turn the radio down or turn the radio off.
I have been listening to you.
Did you get your radio off yet?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, go ahead. Thanks.
I've been listening to you for about a month now. I've looked up on the program. But what I want to say is that I've been diagnosed with some of everything you can imagine. Lupus, scoliosis, degenerative disc disease, and many, many more. I have arthritis. I've been on medications of all kinds since about the middle of the 70s. The only reason I found out about the scoliosis and degenerative disc disease is that a couple of years ago, I told my rheumatologist, look, we're going to start this year differently. And we started doing imaging. My question is, because I have lupus and all this other stuff, oh, and by the way, I'm on five medications for high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. What can I do? I've been drinking apple cider vinegar water with a little honey. What else can I do in the way of natural treatments that would eliminate some of my problems, GERD, the arthritis, all the symptoms of, associated with fibromyalgia, peripheral neuropathy? What can I do? What supplements can I use? Now, I have to say, I'd be willing to try the K vitamins, except that I've been hospitalized numerous times for blood clots in my legs.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what I can do to help myself in the way of using natural remedies and supplements, hopefully supplements that are not found in a bottle.
Sure. I'll tell you exactly what I would do if it were me. If I, of course, I can't just transmit the information, I can't download the information in my older brain into your brain. I can tell by your voice. I'm much, much older than you.
I'm 70.
Oh, well, I might be a little younger then. I botched that one. How's that for giving you confidence? I know what I'm talking about. The one technique that works in situations like this, when you have all these broad-based symptoms and these different... So if we were to look at your body, we know your digestive tract is inflamed and affected. We know that your skin is affected. We know that your joints are affected. We know that the cardiovascular system, if you talk about clots, well, that's the cardiovascular system. We know that your digestive tract and your gut is affected. So what do we do to get to all that? It's called intermittent fasting. Well, here's the main thing that you want. This is just one bullet point. But what you need to know from what I'm telling you is, if I can convince you not to eat for 20 hours a day and eat two meals within 4 hours, that's called...
I normally eat one because I'm not hungry.
Right. And so the key is, if you just eat the one meal a day, now in that one meal, there will not be enough nutrients to satisfy your requirements. So I like your idea of getting your supplements from your food, but there's no way you can do that with one meal a day. It can't be done.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're kind of left with, well, what supplements do we take advantage of? So are you really going to eat a plate full of Gouda cheese with your one meal a day?
I don't think it.
Yeah, but you're not going to do that every single day, though. And so,
so
with your one meal a day, I would probably focus more so on vegetables and meat as the mainstay of it. That would be what I see works. But right now, you got bigger fish to fry. You've got an immune system that's kind of attacking your own body. That's what lupus is. It's an autoimmune disease. The last time I checked, I think there's exactly 7 precise manifestations of lupus. There's one form that affects the kidneys and the liver more than others. There's one form that connects the connective tissue in the skin. There's one form that affects the heart more so and the joints. Anyway, it's been my experience that spleen extracts from a calf are one of the greatest supplements of all time for lupus. And so let me just present that to you. You look it up with however you want to. One of the issues that you're dealing with right now is we probably have a complete failure of the adrenal glands to work properly. You're just going to need some adrenal support. If you told me your last meal of the day is going to be some fresh calf kidney with adrenal glands on top, I'd say, hey, that sounds good. But otherwise, you're looking at a supplement. I just do not know how you're going to have enough energy from one meal a day to get you from point A to point Z, but you might look at some type of adrenal support. And one of the easiest ones to consider when there's an autoimmune disease would be Rheumania.
Spell that for me, please.
R-E-H. I'm going to have to write it down here. Okay, R-E-H-M-A-N-I-A. Rheumania.
E-H. M.
M is in man.
I N.
A N. Just spell it R E H and then spell the word man. And then end it with an I A. Rheumania.
Okay.
Okay, that's one herb that you're looking at. That and the one called Hemidecimus. Hemidecimus sounds like the name of a Roman gladiator, if you ask me. Hemidecimus Maximus. I'm sorry, I'm just wasting your time totally, aren't I? And so that's one of the things you're looking at. Now, personally, I had a gentleman come to see me, and I got to tell you, there's some people I become very, very fond of. They just really impress me. I like being around them. I mean, don't you have people in your life that you really like being around, that you feel better when you're around them? Do you?
My 3-year-old great grandson.
Okay, good.
My daughter was her youngest, 9 years old, and her eldest just turned 35.
Oh, wow. But
they treated me like I was not a child of God, using vulgarities.
No.
And so my daughter told me, when you die, don't have anybody call me.
Oh, that's horrible.
And I've given all my life to my one and only daughter, child. and all my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I have her to raise them. And then
well,
she,
bless you for doing that.
Well, I've even let people live in my house for free because they were, for all intents and purposes, homeless. People
well,
I didn't
yeah.
even know.
Oh, well, that's just, what a great person
you are. I think
God
is good.
Well, God is good. That is true. But sometimes people don't treat us well. And I'm very, very sorry for that. If you would consider the herb called hawthorn, hawthorn is absolutely one of the most effective remedies of all time for lowering blood pressure. I can almost guarantee you, if you contact your doctor and you tell them, the one that prescribed the four blood pressure medications for you, that you'd like to try hawthorn, he's going to have a screaming fit, or she will, because you will not be on the four blood pressure medications much longer once you start taking it. And there's probably not a more effective remedy for dissolving clots in the body than hawthorn. And so this gentleman that I was telling you about that I like very, very much, he told me something. He said, you know what I noticed? He said, I used to always have a bad reaction to dairy products, but when I take lemon juice and squeeze it into a glass of water and drink that before each meal, I notice I don't really react to dairy products anymore. And I thought to myself, interesting. But this man has an autoimmune disease just like you have an autoimmune disease. And I would venture a guess that the severe degenerative joint disease and the scoliosis that you have and the lupus and the GERD and the arthritis and the peripheral neuropathy and the blood clots and probably everything else, for all I know, that's
the
just...
the narrowing of the area in the vertebrae. I can't remember what it's called.
Well, but I would venture a guess some of that's got to be an autoimmune reaction. Your body is excessively attacking that part of the spine, and your body's responding by laying down calcium deposits and just kind of welding your spine together. But you're an incredible human being because you have a lot of maladies, but you're trying to improve yourself, so you have all my respect. I just really appreciate you very, very much. But what I would try to talk you into is drinking lemon juice. Add lemon juice to water.
And not the cider vinegar, honey, and water?
Well, I didn't say that wouldn't be good. That can serve a good purpose. But it's been my experience that I will see a much, much greater benefit from the lemon juice. And you know how if you had one of these homeless people, for all intents and purposes, come stay at your house, and you look at them and you go, man, you have got the dirtiest clothes of all time. Give those to me. Let me wash them for you. But if you take hot water and laundry detergent, what have you got? You got a solvent.
Yeah.
And it scrubs the pants clean. It helps dissolve the dirt. I started to say grease. I really don't know. But it starts to dissolve all that debris. And so they come out and you go, hey, would you like your clothes back? And they're going, oh, my goodness, this is probably the cleanest my pants and shirt and clothes have ever been. Or socks. I don't remember my socks being white. They are now. But it acts as a solvent, and so the lemon juice will act as a solvent to start dissolving a lot of this horrible debris that you have in your body.
Another question has come to mind. What do I do if I try to get off the anti-anxiety, anti-depression,
here's
what I'm asking. Growing up, my mother always used something called acidity for digestive problems, sleeping problems, many different problems. As a matter of fact,
what was it?
Castor oil, she didn't have anything else that she treated us with.
Well, if that's all you've got, then I guess castor oil is a pretty good remedy then, right?
Yeah. My question, though, is what supplements can I use to help eliminate some of this anxiety and depression?
Well,
I realize that I'm a great grandma. I'm getting much older very quickly, and some of my problems are due to age.
Well, there's a huge difference between somebody that calls themselves a worrier or somebody that has anxiety or depression and a person that's in the habit of worrying or being anxious.
And all my life.
So, yes, but I see those as two different issues right there. So you have in your brain what's called the basilar ganglia. And
right.
That, what that does is it helps you execute all your habits and all your programs all day long. I can tell you how dedicated I am to mine. When I put my pants on in the morning, what I do is I always stand on my right foot. I bend my left leg a certain way. I put my left leg in the pants, and I don't change from that. It's just all you're executing patterns.
Right.
And so you're in the habit of worrying and stressing. And so what we got to do is we got to switch gears here. And one of the ways that you do that is by forcing your frontal lobe, which is a... See, you can't really... I don't know that you can really control how you feel. So if you have a granddaughter that calls you on the phone and she says something negative to you and it's really completely unjustified and it's not showing love and, you know, the Christian principles of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, all those are great. And I've certainly got plenty of room to work on all those myself, plenty. But when she calls you, you feel badly because it's just a bad conversation.
They won't accept my calls.
Well, even that just doesn't sound good either. And so one of the techniques.
And I can't see my grandchildren or my great grandchildren anymore.
Well, that's just horrible. They need you in their life.
I've always been there for them.
Well, to your credit, you are a wonderful human being, and I'm glad that you've been there for them.
Well, and as a matter of fact, my youngest brother was born when I was 6 years old. And being the oldest girl, I had to cook, clean, wash for 9 people, take care of my younger sisters and brothers. And this pattern... only ended when my granddaughter and my daughter were so mean as to take my babies away from me.
You think they're trying to punish you for some reason?
I think, number one, my daughter knew the young man that killed my husband. Back in 78.
Oh, dear.
She's not been the same since.
I guess not.
She had a life-changing head injury, and I was told by the doctor, you know, it was a miracle that she lived, but as she gets older, she might wake up dead. You never know what. But
she just hasn't been the same since. She's not the same person prior to that head injury, is she?
I'm sorry?
She's not the same person that she was after the injury that she was prior to the injury.
Right, and it's gotten worse over the years.
Oh, dear. Well, that definitely plays a factor in everything, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and that's why I told them nothing they do can make me love them any less than I already do.
Well, you're such a good girl for saying that. That's the truth.
So, if I get off the anti-anxiety depression meds? Besides,
simply you're looking at your topic for the day is studying the adrenal glands, because the only way that you experience horrible anxiety is if you have your body flooded with cortisol and adrenaline. That's just all there is to it. And so I know this sounds overly simplistic, and I'm not saying this to put salt on a wound or rub the thorn in the flesh, but when you're trying to get rid of high levels of cortisol, you've got to think of everything different. You've got to approach this differently, and one of the ways of doing that is by trying to retrain your pituitary gland to start releasing more of the chemical called oxytocin. Oxytocin, and let me just say it this way, a husband could come in from a very difficult day at work. Everybody was hard on him. He was made fun of him because his Halloween costume didn't look like all the other children's. They teased him on the playground. Anyway, that's what happened at our house yesterday. But anyway, to make a long story short, he feels horrible. But when the wife presses her soft lips against his rough, unsoft lips, and she holds him and hugs him and tells him everything's going to be all right. That's called oxytocin right there. And all of a sudden, his body is flooded with oxytocin, and he feels like a new man. And everything that's bad in the world is completely gone away. But there is nothing that gets rid of excess cortisol and adrenaline like the hormone oxytocin does. So what you do is you have to do what you can. And that means if you want your body to have oxytocin, if you can make it to church tomorrow, you hug every person that you can and you touch every person you can. Don't wait for them to hug you. You reach out and make contact. Yes, that's real risky.
I can't go to church because of the pain 24/7.
Well, the other option.
I said, I don't have any friends.
Well, the other option.
My family has been enough all these years.
Well, the other option that you have is writing very loving handwritten notes to somebody. I don't know who to tell you. I would suggest Donald Trump for starters. You tell him that you really appreciate him trying to make America great again. And if you do that, what'll happen is you'll get a surge of oxytocin by doing that. Yeah, I could probably. I don't take the newspaper, watch television, or listen to the news.
Right,
but if,
and I don't have any TV.
Well, but if I
radio,
well,
I don't have internet.
Then what I would do is I would call the radio station, start getting addresses of these ministries, and start writing them notes. Thank you for giving me something positive to focus on. I really appreciate your ministry. And they would appreciate that. But what it's doing is you're training your pituitary to start producing oxytocin, which is what you've got to have. If you want to feel like everything is going to be okay and this anxiety is going to go away, you must train the body to release oxytocin. Now, one thing that you can do also is you can start eating dark chocolate because it contains a chemical called PEA.
Right.
And PEA is phenylethylalanine or something like that. But you get a little bit of PEA when you eat dark chocolate. And so if that gives you like a little bit of a boost, then you need to start just rubbing your hands and your fingers and kind of caressing them and patting your arms and your hands. You just do the very best you can. Or maybe option number C or number D or 3 would be getting a pet. Don't you need a chihuahua named Fluffles?
I have a parakeet that was given to me, and his name is King Tut.
Hi, I'm King Tut. Polly, want a cracker? But what you can do is, will he let you pet him and stroke him?
Kinda.
Well, and you can do that and just praise him and say he's a pretty boy.
I do.
What color is he?
Blue and yellow, and I'm not sure he's.
Wait,
sleeping.
Don't they say that about snakes, blue and yellow, kill a fellow? Oh, no, that's red and yellow. Never mind.
Okay.
Is he a piranha parakeet?
No.
Well, do you have a cat or a dog?
Don't like cats. Don't like them purring around my ankles.
Oh, man, I'm totally a cat person. Once you come over to my house, I have a man-eating cat named Gus. I think he's a direct descendant of saber-toothed tigers. I'm not sure, but he looks like he could be.
Is he a mouser?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Last Saturday night, I walked out the back door about 11:45, went in the backyard, and he's got to always come and show me what he's got, but he had a rat, and he set the rat down. The rat is completely alive, and he lets the rat get maybe 8 to 10 feet away, and the rat thing is probably thinking, man, my freedom...
I used to see that when my daughter was 12 years old. She had a Siamese, and he'd play with whatever he found, whether it was a gopher or mole or mouse.
Well, that's entertaining, isn't it?
You're into that kind of thing.
Now, he's not only a mouser, but he's a ratter and a gopher and a shrewer and a squirrel and a rabbit. He's just a death machine. But that's why he's doing what a cat does. Cats do that. Anyway, but if you start rubbing your hands, you'll start generating oxytocin. But if you will, look into Romania and tell me what you think about that. And look at spleen extract and lemon juice and tell me if your fortunes start to change for the better. But you've got to be able to work through this, and you're a work in progress. You're only 70 years old. You're like 6 months older than I am. Anyway,
okay,
but I'm really pleased with your phone call today.
I'm not driving anymore because of the medications and the fact that I gave my car to my daughter. Where can I get these locally?
Well, just call the health food store, and that should be your easy solution.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for your phone call, ma'am. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Doc.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for your phone call. Bye-bye.
And have a great weekend.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the air this morning, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Really, you think you're the only one that has experienced, negative feelings? Oh, I'm the master of that, or I can be. But I tell you what, the older that I get, I think that the Word of God provides ample ammunition for helping resolve those issues. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. You sound like you're just a little bit excited today. Is that true?
Yes, it's my birthday.
Today is your birthday?
Yes, sir.
Has anybody wished you happy birthday yet?
Actually, my daughter called me at midnight, and one of my sisters called me at midnight and said happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Well, that's great. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I'm calling this morning because I have a twin brother, and a few years ago,
when is his birthday? No, I'm going.
Okay, can you hear me pretty clearly?
Oh, yeah, I can do a good, yeah, excellent.
Okay, great. Well, my twin brother, a few years ago, he ate something, it was like a potluck at church, and something affected his lip to the point where it swole up really bad, and he had to go in the hospital, and...
Oh, that's horrible.
Yes, it was just so sad. But now, even years later, now his lip is discolored and it swells up occasionally. Like last night, after dinner, the cold will make it swell up, and it's disfigured. And I'm just like, Lord, what's going on?
Well, I have a thought for you.
Yes.
There is a large gland that is totally responsible for all immune reactions, whether they're good reactions or bad reactions. It's called the thymus. You ever heard of the thymus gland?
Only on your show.
Okay, well, anyway, the reason I'm saying this is I could probably kind of like catalog in my mind all the severe, weird reactions that I've seen over the years, and we just don't have enough time to talk about them. I mean,
right.
Unless you want me to, I'll be glad to tell story after story. That's just kind of like my language right there, is just because that's how I remember details.
Right.
But
right.
The thymus gland, any time that you have a severe reaction or a swelling that lasts longer than 6 days, then I have no choice but to think that the thymus gland is not producing enough T helper cells and T suppressor cells.
Okay.
And so what you're doing is you're asking the question, what can we do to change this negative pattern within the body to where we can have resolution?
Right.
Now, I do not know the size of your brother's lips, but I'm pretty sure there's a certain size that would not be attractive that you could draw attention to yourself.
Right, yeah.
Or the color of him.
Right.
Is he tempted to wear makeup or lipstick?
No, he's not, but, you know, it does keep him from, you know, just being more social, and he has to wear like a little face mask.
Well, is it just his lips or is it around his lips?
No, it's just the lips.
Well, what color is it again?
Now around his lip there's like a black line, almost like when a woman wears lip liner.
Yeah.
It's really deep in color, and then it's real bumpy and lumpy.
I just think we had a very, very significant immune allergic toxic reaction at the area of the lips. And so this is only an idea. I'm not trying to say this is a panacea, but I'm just working with what I've got. The thymus. T-H-Y-M-U-S.
Mm-hmm.
Even that lady that just called a while ago, if I had told her take thymus extract, that would have been one of the greatest things that she could have ever done.
Okay.
And so, if you will, I need you just to investigate on behalf of your sweet brother. Now, there's a story in the Bible about how there were twins being born, and an arm came through, and they tied a scarlet thread on that. You read that story?
No, that's I haven't.
You need to look it up. It's very interesting. But
they're
trying to find out which is the firstborn, so one's trying to come out, and the arm comes through, and the other one's trying to come. Anyway, I just wasted your time on that. But was he born before you? Are you number
one? Yes, he's born 11 minutes before me.
Now, is that a point of arrogance and pride because he was first? Does he rule over you because of that?
Yes, I was always his little sister in high school.
I get it.
He towers over me as well.
Well, but that's still pretty funny, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But what I want you to do is I want you to consider thymus extract. And you can get that, and I hope this does not discourage you, but it almost always universally comes from the thymus of a calf. I haven't heard it coming from parakeets or cats or dogs. It's almost calf. Calf thymus extract. And that calf, like C-A-L-F, from a cow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's one of the things that I would look at right there. The other thing that would be very, very intriguing to me is any time that you have an issue of the skin that doesn't resolve, there's an herb called go-to cola.
Okay, let me write that down.
Now, I am not trying to make a joke by saying this, okay? I'm just telling you what I read this morning.
Okay.
They were saying in this article that they think that one of the reasons why elephants live such a long time, and by the way, I'm not comparing your brother to an elephant. I'm just telling you. This is what the article said. But in this article, they were saying that the elephant loves to eat one particular shrub. It's called Asiatica centella, or the go-to cola plant. And they're saying they think that that's one of the reasons why they live such a long time is because they love to ingest go-to cola. Well, go-to cola, it can really be beneficial when you have a skin lesion. It just will not clear up, and it won't go away, or you can't get to resolve. And I know that you've read in the Bible before stories of people that have leprosy.
Yes, sir.
I can tell you hands down which one is my favorite, is the story of Naaman.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And the little Hebrew girl that was captured during one of the raids, she said, "Oh, that my Lord were with, the prophet in Israel. He could cure him of his disease." And, of course, the king of Israel is going, "Great, he thinks that I can cure him. I can't do that." And then Elisha shows up. Anyway, that's just one of my favorite stories. But
right.
Leprosy has got to be one of the most challenging diseases of all time to, quote, cure or resolve.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start looking up research from other countries that maybe don't have as much money as we have,
they have
had tremendous success and benefit from using what's called go-to cola.
Go-to cola, and it's spelled just like you're saying it?
Yeah, G-O-T-U, first word, and then cola with a K.
Oh, okay.
You probably thought I said Pepsi Cola, right? No, but it's called go-to cola. But what I would say is, and this is the part that most people don't like me saying, because they want it. Everybody wants an instant fix. Everybody.
Right.
Yes, I was a little sarcastic with a woman on the phone yesterday. She said, "Dr. Morgan, I've only lost," but she's telling me that she's gained about 60 pounds in the last 6 years, and she can't do anything to lose weight. And so I put her on a gentle course of action to try to correct that. And she said, "Dr. Morgan, I'm very disappointed. I only lost 10 pounds. I said, "What do you mean you're disappointed?" And that's significant to drop 10 pounds
really
in a short period of time.
Oh, my God.
And then she said, "Well, I thought that I would lose 20. And I says, "Well, you can always go back to your former, plan that you were using." And she kind of chuckles and laughs. And I think she realizes real quickly that what she was doing wasn't working. She was only gaining weight.
Right.
And so, but go-to cola takes months for it to really purify the skin.
Okay.
I would say he'd probably just take it for 6 months. I realize that's kind of I hate to say stuff like that because I know how people think, and they want a 6-minute cure, not a 6-month cure.
Right.
But I'm telling you straight up, 6 months on go-to cola.
Okay. And then what about the calcimus extract?
Well, at the very least, all he can do is take it for a couple of months and see if he has an amazing result.
Okay. Oh, that's what we're praying for. My goodness.
And then what we may do on top of that is we may... do you know what bentonite clay is?
I have. Where have I heard bentonite clay? Yes, I've heard about it. I think I've even had some before.
Oh, there's a smart guy on KBGS named Dr. Mor. Never mind. But bentonite clay, it helps remove impurities. So he could just make like a lip facial or a facial where he rubs the bentonite clay on his lips and just let it pull all that stuff out. It just draws it out.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that like the clay mask?
Yeah, something similar to that, exactly.
Oh, okay. I just did a clay mask last night.
I bet your skin is really smooth and creamy right now, isn't it?
It feels like it was a charcoal clay mask.
Well, but still, what does charcoal do? It attaches to toxins and impurities.
Right.
Do you ever brush your teeth with charcoal?
No, I've seen people do it on the internet, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but have you ever seen what their teeth look like afterwards?
It's super, super sparkly and white.
You're right. Correct. El correcto. Good. But I would look at those things right there and tell me if they lead to a good resolution to your brother's malady.
Oh, Dr. Morgan, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's totally my pleasure. I'm really tickled that you called, and happy birthday again.
Thank you. I love your show. Have a great day.
All right. You're welcome. Have a good day. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Her husband is probably making blueberry pancakes as we speak to surprise her. He didn't know she was in the bathroom talking to me. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Thank you very much for your phone call today. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great, thank you. What can I help you with?
Well, my mom has adrenal fatigue syndrome, and they actually said that it's moved into Addison's disease now.
Oh, bless her heart.
And they told her she's going to have to be on this hydrocortisone the rest of her life. Basically, her life depends on taking it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to know what ways there might be to reverse that naturally.
Well, you have a gland called the pituitary. Actually, let me start over. You have a gland in the brain called the hypothalamus. One of the jobs of your hypothalamus is to constantly measure within the bloodstream what the levels of adrenal hormones are. But then again, it also measures ovary hormones and pancreas hormones and the pineal gland hormones and thyroid hormones, and I guess we could probably keep going, but it constantly monitors and measures what these hormone secretions are.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes the hypothalamus gets a little bit exhausted and worn out, so sometimes I will just try to feed the hypothalamus. Now, I have a different examination technique that I use, but if the hypothalamus is weak, the hypothalamus, besides measuring all her adrenal hormones that have kind of, the deficiency has led to like Addison's disease, or that's what they're calling it, so they want to give her hydrocortisone.
Uh-huh.
But the hypothalamus, it really plays a very significant role in regulating what are called neurotransmitters. And those are chemicals of the brain called dopamine and serotonin, norepinephrine, GABA-aminobutyric acid, oxytocin. We could keep going, things like that. But these brain chemicals, the hypothalamus, it tries to regulate those. And so the hypothalamus is connected directly to the limbic system. These are emotions, emotions, emotions. Now, there's probably bad emotions, you know, chronically, and there's good emotions. Would you say that your mom is basically a super happy girl?
At times. But she has been super stressed most of her life.
And that's because of circumstances, right?
Right.
Okay. Sometimes what I'll do is when there's Addison's disease, I'll look at giving hypothalamus extract. Usually it comes from a calf or from a cow. But what I was trying to get to is she has a gland called the pituitary. And the pituitary is what releases the hormones that tell the adrenal glands what to do. It's almost as if you went to a concert, a symphony, And the orchestras, you know, they're kind of tuning and they're kind of playing with everything, singing if they're on key, and you can hear all these noises, but it's not the harmonious rhythm that you would expect from playing a beautiful orchestra piece until the conductor gets there, or the maestro, or the maestro. And so the pituitary gland is like the king of all glands. It controls and regulates. It tells the thyroid what to do, the pineal. It tells the thymus gland what to do. But a lot of times with Addison's disease, I really want to make sure that we get the exhausted hypothalamus and pituitary back online again where they can start giving better commands.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of leaders not being good leaders? Well, that's what the case is when there's an Addison's disease. We don't have good leaders telling the adrenals what to do. And so their focus is just to flat out whip them and... Did you ever see that movie by John Wayne was in called True Grit, how he kept whipping the horse, making it run, trying to get the girl with a rattlesnake bite back to a doctor?
Yes.
Well, that horse died, didn't it?
Yes.
But hydrocortisone is like beating the crap out of the adrenal glands. They're just trying to whip them into submission. I say there's a better plan.
Okay.
The better plan might be trying to soothe the pituitary and the hypothalamus first and foremost, and the way that you do that is by avoiding sugar like the plague. Now, I realize it's going to sound like I'm going to sound like a crazy nut job by recommending that, because you're going to say, well, Dr. Morgan, don't you realize that when somebody takes steroids, they just crave sugar? Yes, I do. I have never been in that situation before where I've taken hydrocortisone. But what you want is you got to get the pituitary back online again. There's no other way, because the pituitary is what releases human growth hormone. And basically, everything that your mother desires right now and everything that she wants on one level, and this is just one point, but we've got to get her human growth hormone level up. There's no way around this. If we do not get her release and pulsing and excretion of human growth hormone from the pituitary to improve, then that's all she's left with, is taking drugs the rest of her life and just having horrible, horrific levels of stress. And the way that you do that is you have to destroy sugar consumption. There's no way around it. The only people that I ever see that get over this are the ones that tell me. I don't have to tell them. They tell me, Dr. Morgan, I am just better off viewing sugar as pure poison to my body. It's like crack cocaine. It's addictive. If I have a taste of it, I just want more of it. And so the only way that you can get human growth hormone level to come back up to normal, which is, I'll tell you what growth hormone will do for her. It will heal and repair every tissue in her body. She'll feel like a new person in no time at all. Anyway, I have reached the end of my limit. I'm supposed to stop the program now, but call me next week, and I'll be glad to pick it up and tell you what else to do, okay?
All right, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye. Have a nice day.
You too.
Thanks.